love food court opinions.
Yeah, the mall across the street is a
they got like a legit sushi place in that food court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
wait,
really
I'm gonna
nice.
Save it. I'm like, I want to talk about it.
We went from one Westfield village to another.
Uh-huh.
We did. Oh my god, that's so weird. Well, we're recording, so we might as well just do our intro.
Let's
because
do it.
We're here. So, so this is We Stayed Late. I'm Spencer Stark.
I'm Starlene Hahn,
and we have a little guest with us today.
It's me, Danny Rosenberg.
Danny's here.
Danny. Woo! We always clap for it.
Luis nice. Is
Thank
in
you.
Jamaica.
Luis is in Jamaica, so we
Jamaica.
Don't have.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so your sushi, we did move from one Westfield across the street
mm-hmm.
to another Westfield across the street.
I want to know where you're getting lunch, what your faves, what your especially what your least faves are.
Ooh.
Let's talk about food courts.
All right. So least fave
popular
is actually
food
the Korean bibimbap place, which is unfortunately I wanted to really like it, but it's like. Either get a cold bowl or a warm bowl, and it's almost like $15, and it's like not tasty.
That's the thing about a Westfield village. You're going to spend $17 on lunch.
Yeah. And it's just not, it's not worth, that particular mm-hmm. place isn't worth the price range for what they're offering. You can't even get two meals out of it. At least most of them, you could kind of split it apart.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I'm paying this much, but
is
it's
two like
meals.
When we had Sweetfin, where you were just like, this is the large?
Yeah. And you're just like, mm-hmm. All right, it tasted good and you're fine, but at least Sweetfin at least tasted good.
Yeah.
Is that the pokey place?
Yeah, but the
see, okay, I love pokey.
I'm always
I
is it
love
pokey or
poke.
Way you're saying pokey, I was like, it's poke.
I love
see there we go, that's in my pokey. Head was that exact thing. You know what, I like that there's a lot of Chipotle style poke.
Yeah, I know
places mm-hmm. coming up. That's how I want to make my
it's
fucking
like,
poke.
It's like a brand new revolution. It's like Pizza Rev. Like when the Pizza Rev started popping mm-hmm. up. But what's the other one? Pyology.
Also, there's 800 Degrees and Medici's are like the expensive level.
They're like the next. Mm-hmm. They're like the
there
Whole
was like
Foods.
There was a Mediterranean place, too, that was kind of like a Chipotle. Oh, God, what was the
oh,
name
yeah.
of it? You know what I'm talking about?
It's the Greek place. It was.
It's like Hummus something. Hummus Republic?
Kava? That was
oh,
at
Kava
Westfield
was good
Village.
Too.
So we were at we went to the mall across the street from here to get food.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first couple days we were here.
Oh yeah,
and
that
then,
place.
Remember, yeah. Okay, and then there was this place. I think it was called Big Pita, which I love the name.
Ooh,
it was all Mediterranean food.
Big
I think I know Big Pita.
Okay,
it's
so
like falafel
they were,
and
yeah. So they were in there, and I got the Big Pita, and it was amazing. And then I think Jeremy and Rob Fee was
okay.
in, and we went to lunch, and they got it there because I was like, it's really good.
And they praised it. It was like, oh, that looks good. I got Chipotle or something.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
I was like testing it out.
And
I'm
so
like, I don't
like,
know
oh,
about this
yeah,
yet.
I might get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might get it mm-hmm. next time because it was like our first couple days.
But also, and I then, like to test Chipotle to see if like, oh, we're in the rich neighborhood. You got
yeah,
some
is
rich
this the good one.
On your menu?
Got that rich guac. But then, then we went back the next day, and I think you were gonna get it, or somebody was gonna get it.
Yeah, I was gonna get it, and it was closed.
It was gone.
Like,
wait,
they just sealed it up
you
and
guys
it was gone.
Like,
they sealed
oh,
it up.
I love stuff like that where you're like, oh, this is great. And they're like, it's going away.
It's gone forever. And I was like,
no warning, no nothing. It was
no.
just gone. However, they're going to replace it with a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, it's so dangerous.
Which is going to be the doom between for Spencer and Luis.
Okay.
I'm
this,
not into Chick-fil-A.
But we had this,
it's just not my thing.
I'm not really. Mm-hmm.
We had this conversation when we first were talking about Chick-fil-A, and you were saying that the chicken.
Yeah, they cook it with pickle
they
juice.
They cook it with pickle juice. Now, here's the thing is like, I just had it a couple days ago, and I don't usually get a chicken sandwich. I usually get the like chicken nuggets because I'm a child, and
for adults are hand breaded chicken crisps.
There it is. Yeah, that's what it is. They're chicken nuggets, and so I got the chicken sandwich, and it totally tasted like completely like pickles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the chicken nuggets don't.
Yeah, they
at
don't.
Do
you know what I
nuggets.
Want on my chicken
so you
sandwich?
Chicken nuggets.
I don't want pickles. I want extra lettuce, extra tomato, add onion.
Damn.
Add onion. You lost me at the
crunchy
onion.
Crunchy red onion on a spicy chicken sandwich.
I would
I
give that a
jack.
Shot, but I'm not usually an onion person. Like, I like the residue of an onion. I don't like actually biting into it.
I like
either,
onion
no.
because it replaces lettuce with the crunch. But lettuce has no taste. It's just filler.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't like lettuce.
Me neither.
Yeah,
you like lettuce?
Yeah, I do like lettuce.
Ooh. Oh, you're outnumbered.
Can we cut that mic over?
And she's out. Yeah. No.
What's funny is that I like pickles. I think pickles are great. I just don't like pickles on chicken. So yeah, I've just never been into...
That's not my go-to. I'm not like, oh, of course, pickles on chicken. No way.
Yeah, it's just like, that doesn't make sense. But mm-hmm. it's a Southern thing. Like, I'm like, oh,
I haven't
okay.
gotten into Chick-fil-A because I think... Well, I didn't grow up with it. I grew up SoCal, so we didn't really have them out here. Yeah. But also, I'm not near one enough to develop an addiction.
I will say their waffle fries.
There's one right next to my, like, within a couple minutes from my apartment, so it's really dangerous.
Do you go to that Sunset Highland one?
Yeah, Sunset, yeah.
Where the Carl's Jr. Jr. used to be?
I was not.
It used to be there, you're right.
Yeah.
What is that?
It was a Carl's Jr., but it was like it was called Carl's Jr. Jr.
It was just like a smaller one.
That's fucking
one.
Weird. And we're okay,
like,
that's weird.
Did the
Why?
Grandson was like, I'm getting my own franchise. And it went under.
Yeah.
Wait, how was it different?
It just had an extra junior on the side.
That's the only difference?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was maybe it was like a smaller menu or something because they built it right next to that high school. So it's just kind of that high school crowd. Which how do you not succeed with a high school crowd?
With a Carl's Jr. You name it Carl's Jr. Jr. That's how you do it.
Do you think it was just a sign problem? Do you think it was just a sign problem?
They just got the sign printed wrong.
I hope so. That would be amazing.
It was the guy on the phone like, okay, can we get a sign that says Carl's Jr. Jr.? Okay, yeah, that's it. And okay, they hung up.
It's
and
like
they,
when you get a cake, and then you get the writing on the cake, and they write exactly what you said.
Like, happy fucking birthday, yeah.
But in nice font. And it says, but in nice font on it.
Tell them happy birthday, but nicely. And then it just says happy birthday, but nicely. Yeah. It says happy birthday, and then it says but nicely, B-U-T-T.
Oh, yeah.
Space, N-I-C.
That cake better have a butt on it.
Oh, that's
hilarious. That's what I want for my birthday, a little butt. I just want a little bit of butt cake.
Let me get a butt cake.
That's Danny, great. So how have you been?
I've been good.
Yeah?
Yes.
You've been busy?
The first like month and a half, I didn't do shit.
Good.
And I needed it.
Fuck it.
I needed it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I was going to, so I'm finishing my degree this next year.
Yeah.
And what's funny is the more that I go through the steps of it, the more it's like, now I'm down to 5 classes that I need for my degree. I left in 2009 and I thought I had like 15, 20 classes.
Yeah.
And then it went down to 12 and then it went down to, you know.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I seriously had one semester left and I haven't been back in a decade to finish my degree. I feel stupid.
No.
Wait, why did it decrease?
You just took your time and you were doing
because
cool shit.
They actively look to make sure that, like, because I took a ton of, I mean, I have like 106 units. You need 120 for a degree.
Oh.
They
so
actively
you're...
look to make sure, like, is the catalog wasting your time? Because the catalog has its specifics, you know, and then my major has its specifics. So they'll work with me to be like, let's find a way that we can take a class from another area and, like,
and make it count.
Yeah,
make it count. So I'm taking, like, a class over summer at SMC just to save money.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I'm going to take like 2 classes in the fall and 2 classes in the spring, and then I graduate.
That's right.
Amazing.
That's
are you
awesome.
Going to do the whole cap and gown thing? Are you going to go
yeah,
out?
Yeah. You know I am. But I'm going to be back in school. So until then, I was like, I need to freelance.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit up Phil because I was just like, listen, I'm going to freelance if you need help.
Yeah.
You're my first dibs. And so he brought me on, and I've been working with him with the new team.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, like, helping him hire new folks because he needs to hire new folks. And
I've just been looking at it through, like, the vlog kind of thing and being like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, they're like, they need people to send out all those posters. Like, oh, my God. Like, just, like, little things where I forget, like, all the people you actually need to be functional. I'm just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so especially when you're doing, like, shit like that.
Oh, my God. So we're hiring. I help him hiring a couple PAs, some researchers, because with all the new stuff he's doing in the next year, he's going to need researchers. And then I'm helping him hire a Patreon fulfillment coordinator who, like,
oh, that's smart.
He's got the number one Patreon.
No way.
He has 16,000 donators.
Holy shit.
So we have somebody that's going to actively keep track of that.
Yeah.
And
make sure dedicated, that, you know. You need a team dedicated to that, really. But one person to start with.
But it's been nice, you know, to kind of be around a bunch of folks that I've known
forever. I just got so stressed out from the concept of what that would mean to manage a Patreon with that many people.
You just have to build a beautiful color-coded Google Doc.
Ugh.
So I'm looking for people who are like me, who like get high off of checking off their to-do list. I love it.
Yeah, well, that
that's what I've been doing mostly now, and then just like spending time with friends and family here and there, and like it's funny is it's like I'm back with that team, but I'm freelancing, so it just feels a little different, you know?
Yeah, because it's like you're like not tied down. You're like, I'm free to do whatever I want to do, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's been nice to be able to do that. And then, like, this is the first time in my life I've ever freelanced. It's you right like now. It? I'm enjoying it right now.
Okay.
Because it's only beneficial right now.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say,
when
I'm
tax
like,
season rolls around next year, I'll be like, fuck.
Yeah, that's you really when you hit it. You're like, oh, no. Taxes.
Yeah, you got to keep a like. Well, I mean, if there's anybody who's going to keep a log, it's little Danny.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep a spreadsheet, you know. Yeah. Stuff, uh-huh. But beyond that, you know.
With just, your receipts and stuff, you don't actually have to save the manual receipt. You could take a picture of it. It still counts.
Oh, I didn't even think about receipts.
Yeah. Save
oh,
your,
shit. Uh-oh.
Like all your driving. Like if you're driving,
yeah,
if that's your, part of your freelance, your like yeah, so yeah, save
you
your
can write off all
God
your driving.
Damn it. Okay, now I'll start taking.
When I was
yep.
when I was freelancing, I had a I had an app on my phone that tracked my driving.
Cool.
And so whenever I would start driving for work, I would just hit go on the app, and it would track and tell. And then when I got to where I was going, I would hit stop. And it, I mean, I was only driving to like Highland Park most of the time, for most.
But it's still something.
But every single day I was driving there for the most part. And so all of that, I mean, for, you know, 5 days a week for weeks on end. So it's like at some point that adds up and you
gotta,
start, you know.
You got a home office. Yeah. If you have a second bedroom, that home office, ooh, you could tax
ooh, you write
right
that
off.
Really?
Uh-huh.
We have a second bedroom?
That's your home office. You better tax that. Mm-hmm.
Write that off.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Anything you buy at home that's part of the office too, like if you happen to buy like, if I mean like in my head, I'm like,
Oop, is that me? I'm playing with my cord. It's sorry.
Like, if it's like a if it's big purchases, like any computers, electronics, things like that, but you could also write off a part of your phone bill.
Yeah,
if you're using your phone for business, like that's part
there's
of
a lot
like,
of little
I
tips.
Am using my phone for
you
business.
You are, so there you go. Write that off. You could write that off because you're freelancing. So anything that
is
goes toward
gross
business.
That I'm like, I'm about to go home and add another tab to my Google Docs.
Oh, hell yeah.
I hope this helps out somebody else,
I know,
too. Like, any type, like, if you're a student and you're freelancing and you have to pay those taxes at the end of the year or beginning of the year or whatever, literally anything used for your business.
I'm hoping my student loan helps me, too, because I am taking a student loan to finish my stuff.
I think
I'm going to pay it off in full immediately and rocket my credit score to 800.
Hell yeah. 800.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit. That's
big
what dreams.
You do. You pay off a student loan. Like, okay, here's what you do.
Yeah.
Young children, fetuses, listen up. Have your parents save up for you so that they have enough to pay for your education, but take out a loan anyway. And then even if they can't afford enough to save up your entire education, enough that take out a loan, and then when it's right when you graduate, use whatever money they had and just
and
pay a big
up.
Chunk or pay it off. And your credit score will go up to like 800 and stay there the rest of your life.
Damn.
Yeah, because you paid off like a major life event thing.
Really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
trying to get
800.
I'm trying to have American Express come be like, you want to be with us?
That's big dreams, man. At least for me, I'm just like, oh, man, that sounds beautiful. Like I'm in the 700 range, but like on the low end of the 700 range. But
me too.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because there was a time when I was in
a bad
place.
There was a time where it was like, ooh, so like just being there, I was like, you know what? I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. But at 800, I'm just like, oh, wow. Like everything's paid off. What?
This is such a foreign conversation to anybody under like 35.
This is what
that's
it's like,
not true,
no,
though. That's
what,
not true.
What,
like,
you're 34?
Yes.
And I'm 32.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, yeah, let's talk about credit scores.
Yeah, poor Spencer's like 25, but like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you have a credit card? Are you one of those?
I have a credit card.
Okay.
And I pay it off every month.
Because I know some people like who are like in your age range who are like, I don't do credit cards. I don't fuck with any of that.
I mean, really,
if you're under 25, unless you're quite responsible, don't touch it.
Yeah, I would say the same.
I have one. Actually, what I do is I use the credit card to get the benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I budget out what I'm... like how I'm using the card so that it's basically like my debit card.
Yeah.
And then I'll use it to make big purchases, but then I know that I have them. I don't use it to like delay payments on things.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I just use it to get all
the
rewards and then I pay it off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I get free money.
I automate my bills.
That's all I want.
I
just
automate
want
my bills.
Yeah,
I'm
me too. I automate
anyway.
The bills too. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's all going to get paid anyway.
That's,
are you guys like, are you guys fapping at home to this?
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
oh, talk about your rewards again.
God damn it.
It's cash
back, honey. 5% APR. Quarterly.
Oh, God. We've alienated every person ever.
I bet we we haven't, though. I bet there's some kids who are just like...
You know what? I don't have a mileage credit card yet, and I need to get one.
Yeah, you should get one of those. I get the Amazon Prime one, so I get free Amazon shit.
I know, but I do.
I was like, we can answer another question. That was a good pause.
Oh, we have questions? Yeah, let's do that.
We have some questions.
We have a Slack, Danny, where it's like...
I think I saw that.
It's like old school AIM, like IRC channel where people just hang out all day. We just went over 200
228.
People.
What? 228.
And it's active 24/7. Yeah. I was up at 3 in the morning yesterday because I was working on comic stuff and just kind of like had it up because it's something to have up.
Yeah.
And this is like Australians and shit talking like, yeah, good morning, how is everybody?
That's so
like,
nice.
This is a whole other group that awesome. I don't know.
I had a group of friends who made a Slack group so that people can basically talk whenever they want to.
Yeah.
While they're at work here and there. But we haven't talked much lately, but Slack is tight for that.
Yeah, it's great. Well, like a lot of people, I met somebody at Darren's show, DVG's show, who said, oh yeah, I use Slack for work and like I hated it. And, like just that the connotation was for work and so they didn't like it. And I was like, no.
Go on it. Yeah. It's fun.
It's real. It's basically just AIM.
Yeah.
So it's like me reliving
like
my childhood.
We have like a work Slack that we do use for work, but we barely touch it. And now we're mostly just on our Slack. Yeah. It's kind of like, well.
And on
Sam's.
Oh, yeah.
Sam and DJ's Slack.
Sam and DJ have a Slack.
Yeah,
they got Slack.
Their fans are like, I guess it's like a lot of crossover. And they're like, well, they should have one too. And a fan made one for them. And like, so like, it's two different.
It makes me so happy that the two of them have their podcast. And they have like this big group of folks that really know what
they're really
doing.
Good
so
at it.
It makes me really happy.
Yeah, we were using Slack for me and the artist for the comic that I was working on before the comic that Star and I were working on.
The other artist.
The other artist. We actually started a Slack.
The other artist,
cause it was
formerly known as...
No! we were using Slack to communicate before even SourceFed was using it. Like him and I were using Slack to communicate on art stuff because he lives across the country. And so it was just easier to like communicate in real time.
It does save you texting.
It does save you a lot of texting. And also it's more like personal than email is. Because I knew we were going to be working on a big project together. It was going to take months. So so it was really nice for that.
And it saves everything. It's really easy to go back and like
check
things.
It's easy to go back.
It's nice.
I wanted to find, where is it? Okay. So somebody asked, this is actually relevant to what we were talking about today. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
To me?
Ooh, to all of us.
Great.
I have two, but the first one that pops into my brain without like if I have to go with it is just it's boring. It's strawberry. I like strawberry.
Strawberry's good.
It's a solid.
Thrifty strawberry.
I've never
is
had
good.
Strawberry ice cream.
Really?
No. Mm.
Do you not like fruit and dairy together?
I'm
is that
fine
a thing?
With it.
Okay.
It's good.
I just have never had it.
Good.
It's just a solid. It's a solid flavor.
It is.
I like
what
it.
Brand?
It's sweet. Honestly, any brand.
Yeah.
It's just a strawberry.
It's simple. You can't really fuck up strawberry ice cream.
Yeah, even like the Blue Bunny, like strawberry shortcakes too. Like all of those things. If it's a strawberry, I'm down.
Yeah.
And then my second go-to, if for whatever reason I'm not in a strawberry mood, is usually cookies and cream.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one.
Because Oreos are
wonderful. Yeah, it's so good.
I like butter pecan.
Ooh,
butter pecan's good.
Butter pecan's good.
That's
and also
rich.
Rainbow sherbet.
Ooh,
got
yeah.
in that sherbet.
I can't help it. It's like my childhood, like... Because I think it's lime, raspberry, and tangerine.
If I had to go with the sherbet.
Mixed together, the sherbet.
If I had to go with the sherbet, I'm usually like a coconut or that bright orange weird
What's
sherbet.
The bright orange one? I've never tried
it's
it.
It's just orange.
Mango?
It's usually just like
what
an
was
orange.
That?
Mango?
Got one of those mango?
It's just usually just, it's orange. I don't know. It tastes slightly citrusy. It doesn't necessarily taste like orange. It's just an orange citrus random flavor that's usually the cheapest one.
Spencer, what's your favorite
ice
cream? Ooh,
I like some of that.
Are you a vanilla? I bet you're a vanilla.
One of those
Can we
dough.
Guess? Oh, cookie dough. Yeah.
You're a cookie dough?
I'm a cookie dough
You like to chew that ice cream.
Like when my cookie dough is just solid. We went to the store just recently during work because that's what we do. We go to a grocery store across the way.
Oh, yeah,
to get
that Gelson's was really useful for where like, oh man, I want lunch, but I don't want like
they got a good hot bar.
Yeah, they do have a good hot bar. So
but I cheat it. Like, I'm like, I want a salad, but I won't go to the salad bar. I'll just go buy like the actual pre-bagged salads. And I'm like, I'm just going to do this. It might
be cheaper that way.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's like $2 cheaper if I just do that and literally go to the hot bar and pick one piece of chicken out.
Right.
And then just strip and the chicken and put it on.
And then it's like, oh, I got a free drink if it's like around the same price.
But we all went to Gelson's to get a little snack because we were hungry.
Oh, yeah. We got ice cream.
We got ice cream. And Luis had never had cookie dough ice cream before.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. He had never had cookie dough. There's so many ice cream flavors, though. Like,
yeah, but like, come on. Come
like,
on.
I think it's interesting when somebody has never tasted something that's like...
That's so common. Seems
like everybody's done.
Like, I've never had Rocky Road.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, because that's a staple.
I know, but it's just one of those things where it's just like, usually when that's there, there's always like a strawberry too. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the strawberry because like,
I
trust it.
The next time you get ice cream, I double dare you.
To get a Rocky Road?
One Rocky Road scoop, one strawberry scoop.
What? I don't know. Right. I'm not about usually mixing up my strawberry.
Chocolate and strawberry is a good combo.
It's too much. It gets too sweet. It's so rich. It's too much. I love
you said that to me with like the biggest eyes. Like it's too rich.
It's too much. Here's the thing. Like I like.
It's too much.
I love chocolate. I love chocolate, but I tend to not to get chocolate ice cream because it's too sweet. And I'm just kind of like I could do like two bites.
You know what gets a bad rap but is very good? Vanilla.
Vanilla is great.
Vanilla is great.
French vanilla too. Ooh, suck my dick, French vanilla. It's delicious.
I like here's the thing about vanilla though. I always want to add something to it. I always want to add like a sprinkle. Give me a little like that fudge thing
just
that
pretend
like
it's the 1900s.
The shell.
Pretends like it's like 1900 and you've like never had ice cream before.
I'm gonna be like,
and
Wonder
then you
Woman?
Eat vanilla and you're like, oh, what a treat this is.
This is such a treat.
Oh,
I want to pretend I'm Wonder Woman having vanilla ice cream for the first time. I'm just being like, this is the best. And I was like,
I do like that shell though, like you were saying.
Yeah, the shell is so much fun.
Shell. How about the caramel shell? You ever had caramel shell? Do you like caramel?
Maybe I love caramel.
Yeah, I'm a caramel.
Caramel, you mean?
Tomato, tomato.
Sure,
I don't know which way to say it. I just heard you say it that way. And I'm like, I guess I'm supposed to say it the other way.
I put the magic shell bottle in the fridge one time like a dumb.
Oh, you fucked up.
I fucked up.
I've also seen some.
I did not think about science when I put that away.
I've also seen the people who take the magic shell and like treat it like regular syrup and just put it in their mouth and they made a mistake.
Ooh, that's a bad not a good choice. Idea.
Another science fuck up.
Not a good idea.
It's super fun to watch someone make that mistake, by the way.
Oh, that's great. Okay, we have another question. What Hogwarts house do you identify with?
Oh, I don't know Harry Potter lore well enough to know that.
Danny would be a straight up Gryffindor.
Ooh. I think so too.
I think you radiate that.
Aw.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but thank you. I know it's the nice house, right?
Well, they're like, if you were going to break it down to the four categories, it's kind of like the Gryffindor is technically like the jocks, but just because there's things brave. Like, okay. They're brave people.
That feels nice.
Yeah. So, and Ravenclaw are the nerds, Slytherins are the snobs, and Hufflepuffs are the stoners.
Okay.
But like they're like, but like you kick ass and like you're ready to like defend your people. Well, I don't know. You might be Hufflepuff. Oh my God. Wait, now I'm having a debate. Cause like you're super loyal. Hufflepuffs are loyal. They're chill as fuck.
Last time I went to the Warner Brothers tour and they put the hat on me, the sorting hat, it said I was Hufflepuff.
Oh, okay. Then you're Hufflepuff. You got sorted by the actual sorting hat. That's your house.
But I mean, you know, it's a randomized like digital hat.
Doesn't matter.
Don't ruin the illusion.
No. Now I'm like, I'm
a childhood fantasy. Now, don't ruin this for me.
Excuse me. I mean, it's magic.
I'm torn between the two because you do have, like, you are super brave. You are kick ass. You do all these cool things. So I'm like, yeah, that's very Gryffindor.
But once a month, really... I am Slytherin all the way.
I don't think so. That's not true.
That's not true.
You wouldn't like because Slytherins put themselves over other people.
Oh,
because it's survivability. It's like politics. It's all of that. It's like it's not necessarily a quote unquote
even when I'm annoyed.
Trait,
even when I'm annoyed with somebody, I still will like do things.
Yeah. So. Oh man, I'm torn.
Yeah, she's kind of in an in between where
you'd
I
have
was
to choose.
Too.
I think like that would be like the sorting hat. Like if
you
took, want to
be
like,
with
the
stoners, you want to be with the brave ones.
I want to be with the brave ones.
Yeah, and then you'd be Gryffindor. Then you'd be Gryffindor.
Cool.
You're Gryffindor
thank
with
you.
Me.
Yeah, I'm a Ravenclaw.
Are you Gryffindor? Ravenclaw.
I'm
big ol' nerd.
I used to be a Ravenclaw. Like, when I was younger, I got sorted in Ravenclaw. But then with the new algorithm...
Where did you get sorted?
On Pottermore.
There's a website okay, that, like, does an official... like it's
how
a,
many
it's
questions are on that one? Because I've heard it's, like, very a famous...
It's, like, 20... It's almost, like, 20 questions, and it's random... Like, it's different questions every time, so no one takes the same questions.
Is it, like, an INFJ kind
of... Kind of, yeah. Yeah. Because it'll be, like, you prefer light or dark, and you're like, oh, okay...
What are we talking about? Chocolate?
The first
intuition goes to chocolate. We're talking about chocolate.
This makes me excited. I love this conversation.
But I was, I'm a Ravenclaw Gryffindor boarder. Mm-hmm. I would choose to be in Gryffindor because
in my head, I still read you as Ravenclaw though. I know, you're a bigger nerd than I am.
But I didn't used to like be as brave as I am now. Like I'm more like I'll stand up things now where like when I was younger I would
but
not.
But I think that's like everybody as they get older you have to get braver.
That's true. So I think when I was sorted I probably would have been in Ravenclaw because I'd be like 10 when I was sorted.
Yeah.
So I probably would
100%. 10-year-old me is purely the biggest dork nerd in the world who was like, we have to answer riddles to get into like our dorm room? Okay. Like I would be all about it.
Yeah, I was such a nerd too.
Danny, I could see you just being like, you know what it is that makes me think of you putting you in Gryffindor? Is because you wouldn't put up with bullies.
No. But when I was younger, I did. You know, I was a pushover just like anyone else when I was in high school.
For your friends or for you?
For me, I was. For my friends, I would, you know, it's a different.
I'll
let you push me, but if you push my friends, I'll
murder
you.
That's the point, and that's more of a Gryffindor thing. Yeah. Like, you just like you're like, no, don't fuck with my friends.
What were you like as a kid?
Man, I was fucking weird.
I mean... I think the three people sitting here were all of us were very weird.
My family moved around a lot. My family moved around a lot.
Okay.
And my home life was very chaotic. My parents were very young when they had me.
Oh, wow.
And they were partiers. So my home life was really chaotic. So I was the kid who played pretend by themselves on the playground all the time. So I'm talking to myself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just like... You know, you'd see me in the street just like, ha ha, yeah, like by myself.
Oh my God, we would have gotten along so well.
And I would have like one friend every now and then, you know, who would also be just as weird. And then middle school was the same thing. And I wasn't as like playing pretend in public, but I was still very in a fantasy land in my head. And then I got to high school and I found folks that I kind of like connected with. I got involved in the theater.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you were a theater kid.
I did
kid.
Theater. I did sports. I did a lot of stuff. But the theater folks I got involved with specifically because it was a production.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I, like, when I was in middle school, I did the middle school news.
No way.
Oh, that's dope.
Oh, that's
I would
so
be
funny.
Like, the gym is closed today for maintenance.
Wait, did you do it over, like, the intercom or did you do the video one?
It was video.
Oh, no.
That's awesome. You're part of that AB club.
We have to.
I got
we gotta
elected
dig up
to student
tapes.
Body and I knew it was because I was a local celebrity.
Somebody. Somebody probably has those
Somebody
tapes.
Probably has those
my,
tapes.
I'm trying to find them, man. Like, I can't find them. My mom gave me all my old VHS tapes and I'm like, I know I have tapes of those. But I did that in middle school and then high school, I was like, great. I want it because I've known I've wanted to do like film and production since I was really little.
Yeah.
So, like, freshman year, I saw a sign up sheet for the fall play and I was like, production, I'm signing up for that. And I did that for 2 or 3 years behind the scenes. And then my junior, senior year, I got on stage and did stuff.
Cool.
Which one did you prefer?
I like doing on stage, but I never felt confident. And that's the same now. That's the same now. Is I really like performing, but I don't feel as confident with it.
You graduated from that improv thing.
I did. I did UCB.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
Which
and
was,
like,
that's way braver than I would ever. I cannot.
I had a good time. Mm-hmm. And like. But I kind of want to, I wish I would go back, but it's so expensive. And I'm also like, why am I going to retake classes? You know,
but it's really good for writing too.
It is. Yeah. And I just would compare myself to other people too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's hard when you meet people, like, or you work with people where you're like, wow, that person is like crazy talented.
Yeah.
You know, like I would look at Lee Newton and be like, holy shit, that is like a talented person. And then I'd be like, I don't have that kind of confidence or that kind of like, I'm quick, but like whenever I was doing improv, I'd have ideas constantly, but I'd be like, I can't pull off a French accent. I'm not going to do it.
Aww.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd want to find the person on stage who was the best performer and want to whisper in their ear and be like, go do this.
Yeah.
which is a writer. So which that's is basically why a writer. I'm that's trying why to going, like do, you know, my majors in screenwriting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love performing. I'm just like, I don't like the idea of, you know, out here, it's like as an actor, you have, being hot has to be a priority. And I'm like, I don't ever want to make being hot a priority. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. No.
I'm like, I don't want to feel like,
it's not.
Damn it. Like my, my lifeblood is my face.
It would just be, it would be too much energy. I wouldn't have the self-esteem for that, to be honest.
I'd have to be able to do it where I could just look the way I look and be myself.
Yeah.
And just be like, fucking deal with it. And you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I, you always see people like when they have a hit show and the next season they're like way skinnier and way hotter. Yeah. And you're like, why'd you do that?
I loved in It's Always Sunny where Mac just got fat.
Yeah.
Like that made me so, I was just like, dude, just.
That was awesome. So he made good. Him. He gained a lot of weight.
He gained a lot of weight. It was amazing. But I'm like, you know, just like under, what is that called? Subverting the stereotypes with that was really, I mean, they do that all the time.
I love Fat Mac. Like,
such a fucking good show. But yeah, it's so superficial. Like there's so many superficial elements to it that it's like, that's why, I mean, that's why I'd prefer just, I mean, I did theater all through high school and then college and stuff, but I was like, there's no way I'm going to go into it. I just don't.
Also, you have to really make it your whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have to think about, like, do I want to do that, you know? Or I ask myself about motivations, too. It's like, there's a lot of people out there that they have that motivation and that want because they want to change their life.
Yeah.
I love my life.
Yeah. You don't need to change it.
I love my life. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to get a chance to perform and do stuff like that, but I'm not trying to escape anything.
Yeah.
I don't, I just, for me, I don't like being the center of attention, like in that sense of, I don't like being the center of attention. I like being part of the attention.
Yeah.
But if it's just me, like, oh, I'm like, no, why? Well,
it's
don't
like
look at me.
People singing happy birthday and everybody's staring at you.
Yeah, I hate
happy
that.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I'm just like, no. Can,
how are you
can
reacting
we just celebrate the
to our song?
Yeah, I freak out if everyone's looking at me.
Looking at you, yeah.
And I want to be like, look over there, look at that thing.
Yeah.
Don't.
I saw your tweet, I think it was a couple weeks ago, where you said that you have the reverse of FOMO.
Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
So when I was in my 20s, this is fascinating to me. Like if I saw, I think everybody can relate to this. Like you're on Instagram and you see friends hanging out and you're like, why didn't they invite me?
I still feel that all the time.
I stopped feeling that in this last year hardcore where I'm just like, if they invited me, I'd be like, nah. I do. I'm just like, I don't want to go out. I get invited to stuff and I'll just be like, no, I can't. And I'm just like chilling at home. Like, I think I just kind of hit a place where I'm like, I'm not trying to hang out with everybody all the time at every little thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys have experienced like hanging out with a group of friends that hang out all the time. And there's this idea of membership, you know, and like you have to keep up your hangs to keep
right,
your membership.
Keeping the membership. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I am just like, any group of people who are going to make me do that, I don't want to fucking deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've weeded those people out of my life.
I'm looking forward to being in that place. I'm almost there, but I still every once in a while, like it'll be like the weekend and I'll have like a good time on my own. And then it's like the end of the day and I'm like looking at stuff and I'm like, oh, there was like 3 other events.
Yeah.
And I had no.
I used to party hop.
Yeah.
I used to be like, I'm going to do 3 parties tonight because I was like, I didn't want to say no to anybody.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't even drink like that because I had to be able to drive to the next party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I just want to pick who I want to spend my night with and spend my night with them.
Well, and you were also saying that like you, when you're out, now you miss being home, which I actually totally relate with too. Like if I'm out doing stuff, I just want to be home and doing creative things and making shit. So it's like, I'm
looking at y'all like
I think
you're
it's
crazy.
Just my social life.
It's just
life,
my personality.
Like, in
just,
my 20s, my social life was a huge priority.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, no, I really like my quiet time and I really like my social life will still energize me, but I just am not sitting around going like, why is no one inviting me? I'm like, why don't I want to hang out with anybody?
I still want to hang out with everybody. I just want to catch up with people and be like, how are you? What's going on? And my problem is I have a hard time. I want to learn to be the initiator.
Right.
And go,
oh, yeah,
I want to see
this,
these people.
Yeah.
I can't just wait for them to invite me to a thing. If I want to see them,
you
I need to
do
be more proactive.
One-on-one hangs.
Yeah, and I'm starting to learn to do that. It's starting to happen, but it's still that initial, like, message. Like, even with you, Danny, like, I want to hang out with you. And I'm like, I'll sit there and go, I'm like, but she's, like, really busy. And, like, she's hanging out. And, like, I'll see your Instagram stories where you're just, like, chill. And I was like, she won't want to hang out. She's having a good time.
Just text me, man.
I know. I know it's all in my head. Because I also go, I'm like, Danny's, like, one of the coolest people I know. And she's super chill. Like, she wouldn't just be like, no, I don't want to hang out with you ever. Like, but that's where, like, my brain goes, like, oh, my God, I haven't seen people.
Maybe now she'd do that.
No.
Like, yeah, no.
No, Danny would tell me straight up if I'm being annoying. She'd just be like, sorry, you got to calm down.
I've caught myself being like way too frank with people when they're being annoying, and it comes from my mother. She's just like that. And then I'll be like, damn, that was cold, Danielle.
Damn,
it was cold.
Roasted.
I don't mind it.
And
I gotta
go back and later on and be like, yeah, I'm sorry, I was so cold. But it's just kind of, it comes out. I can't hold it.
That's funny. I prefer
because I just want to know if I'm being annoying. Like, please tell me.
I'm trying to think of a time recently when I...
Is that new though? Or is that...
That's probably in my late 20s is when that happened. After I went, it's weird after how I started like doing therapy happens. And I, because I was a big doormat forever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I went from one end to the other where I was like, I'm done being walked on, motherfucker.
That's usually how that happens though, right? Like you make that, I mean, and if you don't, if you make a swing, it's usually like the opposite
I'm
direction.
I'm trying to get back to the middle, you know, because I also feel like the internet has bred this idea of being sassy is like a really great attribute, and there's like some sassiness is fun and fine, you know, but then there's
playful
but sometimes it's like it's just rude.
There's a difference between being blunt and having tact, because you could still, you could be blunt and be honest with people, but there's a way to do it without like just
being
destroying somebody.
Yeah.
I think it's like the difference between being like I'm a personality and being like I'm a human.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to strike the balance because I've had I grew up in a fairly like conservative hometown, and so I've been trying to, like, even today I was having a conversation with somebody that I really like, and he's a friend of mine, and he's somebody that I enjoy being around, and that like I you know I hung out with for years, and he was talking about why like the Paris like Accord or whatever, like that it was a good thing that we pulled out, and that like he doesn't blame me climate change, and I like, and he was like, but if anybody like thinks differently, please comment and like let me know why, because I want to hear all sides of it.
Yeah.
And so I commented on it, and now we've been having this discussion back and forth, and it's like I have to be really careful with how I, because like I want to be like, dude, come on, dude.
But also, there's no tone.
But then
online.
There's no tone.
There is no tone.
So I have to be really careful with how I speak, and it's like really hard. I've been trying to be like.
Should we start putting parentheses where we say like tone, friendly.
Well, I said,
well, that's
I
what
started
emojis
out
for.
Open.
I
those
tried...
emojis, they have like double meanings, all of them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, if you're saying something, I don't know. I like the smiley faces. I still think one of the most essential.
Yeah.
Like,
but
emojis.
If you're trying to talk like serious politics, then you put a big smiley face at the end of your fucking sentence.
Well, you put oh man,
and that's why I think the death sentence should be rethought.
Smiley
face. Praise hands. Yeah.
Praise hands.
The crying laughing face.
The one that's sideways. Yeah. So it's hard at having like real discussions about, like, those are discussions that you kind of need to have in person, because like I don't want
you gotta
him to
have
think
those discussions
that
in
I'm
person.
Like I don't want him to think that like I'm being an asshole. Like I'm just being like, this is the one of the biggest threats facing humanity and our planet.
I think that's a big part of what's hard,
you know,
right now is the people that are having these conversations are all doing them online.
Yeah, and it's so
mad at each other because that's what they're reading and you know, it's,
well, you could always do, instead of it having being like being public, the response, you could always like message on the side, so it could, so it's easier to, I mean, the tone factor's still there, but at least it's
also
not
you
like
don't have one of his like random coworkers being like, I also have something to say.
But it's also at least gives you an opportunity to like, it feels more personal. Like that happened to me the other day, like I tweeted something about like what would happen if the actual like if with all the stuff that's going on right now, if it was proved that the voting machines were actually like actually hacked and it was like what, whether or not that's real or not, but in that scenario, like as a whole, if voting machines were hacked and it turns out like it was a rigged election, what would happen? Like do you have a redo? Like it was a genuine question, and I had a friend like message me like, hey, I didn't want this to be like on Twitter, but like, this is what I think would happen. And I was just like, oh, okay. And this is like one of my friends who's generally more like, they lean more conservative. So they were like, but like, I respect their opinion and stuff. And it's just like, so we had like a great conversation about it.
Yeah, it might be good to and go it was private just
like,
with it.
Yeah, but yeah. Because he was just like, I don't want it to be on Twitter because like, that's like just a nightmare hellhole. And like, you can't really actually say.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, and like, I appreciated that it was like on the side, like, this is what I think would happen. And essentially it was just like, nothing really would change.
I mean, like, I don't know. That's the thing too, is like, is it fruitless? Is it like, is there a, I don't know anymore whether it's worth trying to have those conversations because I feel like every time I do, I mean, like, cause I feel like how I feel about, especially about climate change, just because it's so, lots of things politically and like, and socially that are, that have a lot of valid sides to them, right? But like something like climate change, where you're talking about something that is, scientifically, we know why it's happening. Yeah. We know that it is happening. And climate change happens naturally, but it's happening at a much faster rate because of CO2. Like, we just know that. It's scientifically shown. And so, like, it just is hard because it's like, I know, I don't, on other issues, I'm okay if, like, I'm seeing the other side of it. But with this one, I'm like, dude, like, this is science. We gotta,
I guess in my head, if somebody is defending him with this, I feel like it's pointless to try and explain.
Yeah, I would say, I feel like that's like arguing with someone who thinks the world is flat right now. Yeah. Right. Like, it's kind of like, if you're still thinking this right now, and it's like, outside of like a political thing, like I could see people arguing it over like political reasons. Like, isn't it like Nicaragua was just like, they were like, we're not in the Paris Accords because this wasn't good enough.
It wasn't good enough. Right.
You know, kind of thing. So if there's whatever political reasons, but if it's like the science part, I'd be like, I don't think I could, if you don't know by now.
NPR did a bunch of interviews with folks in Texas, in like a real rural part of Texas, where all these folks were super conservative and they were like, yeah, it gets getting hotter. It is. And like, they all agreed that they do feel like the climate's changing, but they had nothing to say about, you know, the accord. Yeah. And I think there are probably a lot of people out there who are like, yeah, I live outside. I can feel it's hotter. I can feel it's not as cold during the winter. But that doesn't mean that they're going to, I don't know.
It's,
you know?
It's very hard for people to think generations ahead. I think like if it's not affecting you right now, and if you have a billion other problems going on, it's very hard to think out of your own circle.
I have faith though. I'm not really like, listen, yes, I'm embarrassed that our country is not involved with it, because I think we should absolutely be a part of that. We're a huge country to not be a part of that.
We're the number one per capita, the number one polluter of CO2.
Like, it's just that's embarrassing in regards to not be a part of that, but I trust California and New York. I trust all of the individual cities and countries that are going to be a part of it. Like, you know, he's going to do his thing, but period, like, gas and solar power is cheaper than coal. So I'm just not.
It's going to
embarrassed that we're not a part of it, but I have faith that the actual people are that the
I'm
majority of the actual
to
people
when
are
our streets are like all like solar panel types.
Did you see though that he did? I mean, we should not go too political at this point, but
it's
okay.
We talk about whatever.
He pitched a solar powered Mexican border wall. I saw it.
The irony is amazing.
I was like, what? That's the most I'll say. That's about crazy. That might be fake news. I don't know, but I just saw that today. And
it
I was
might
like,
be fake
are
news.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like I have so many friends and like family members that lean the opposite way of the aisle from me that like, and most of it honestly is like your upbringing and what news you watch and what your parents, sometimes what your parents or what your family believes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's really important, like as people that we are able to, even with people on the other side of the aisle, that we're able to like communicate with them and not shut them. Like people who voted for Trump, because I'm admittedly not a fan of the man.
You're not.
But like people who, can you tell? But people who voted for him or people who believe that he, you know, is doing the right thing. Like I don't want to shun them.
Yeah.
Because there is.
I try and actively like look at, okay, I'm gonna put away all of the, you know, negativity coming from a massive amount of people with it, and try and think about like what's his goal here, you know?
Yeah.
With like the Muslim ban and stuff like that, where I'm like, it feels like pretty clearly religious freedom trying to be restricted. Trying to picture it as, what if it isn't about you know, racism? What if it's about him trying to protect the borders? But it's like, it's hard to think that way, because I very quickly go back to like,
here's the thing.
I don't think
with him in particular, though, he doesn't have the same conviction. Like, it's not like he actually believes it. He's doing that because he thinks that's what his base will really like. So it's just, not even coming from a place of like, I believe this. It's just like, oh no, you're just trying to see
him as someone who is a public servant, which is what politicians are supposed to be. It's hard. You know, a lot of the stuff I've seen rolling out feels like he's trying to make a profit off the American people.
And it sucks.
Like, especially with healthcare, you know? So it's like, I'm like, people are like, we want to see him run the country like a business, but it's like, there's no heart in business. That's why they say it's not business. It's not personal. It's not business. But the country is personal.
Right.
So that's where it can be hard for me to go like, man, like, I just feel like he's got this smug look on his face. Like, he's making a ton of money off all these people that are struggling. And a lot of people that voted for him are suffering with, like, he's going to make Medicaid cuts.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, where I'm like, man, it's just not good.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that they were swindled, right? Like, they were tricked into thinking that that guy was going to do good, was going to actually change. I mean, he talked about draining the swamp, and now he's filling it full of
people. It's a mix of also, like, not being honest with people, too. Like,
a lot of
people, I'm going to bring back these coal jobs. It's like, sorry, that's not...
Coal jobs aren't coming back.
That's not coming back. And even then, like...
Also, it's like, listen to everybody with black lung. Why are you trying to bring coal back?
Well, also, like, I think I read something somewhere where it's like, Arby's employs more people in general than, like, the coal industry as a whole. Like, it's such a small amount.
Yeah.
But
I don't understand why they can't just take that area that has a coal factory and make it a solar powered or another kind of factory.
Well, they're going to try to, I mean, they're going to need to retrain coal workers to work on you know, renewable resource. Yeah. I mean, on green energy, because it's like, that's the only way that we're able to move forward, because it's honestly, it's a threat to us as humans.
Yeah. Mm.
And so we need to tackle it like it is a global threat.
Yeah.
And when we have, you know, people that are, you know,
we got to treat global warming like they're the aliens in Independence Day.
Yeah, like they are.
Here's
they
the
are.
Thing,
that's
like
what
they're
it
like,
is.
Cause that's the thing. It's hard to treat something like a global threat because our brains just aren't. We're not wired
for that.
We're not wired to think about the world. We're wired to think about our communities that we care about.
Right.
So it's very hard to like. It's like why we don't give a shit about when shit happens across the country outside of like, oh, we'll throw a couple dollars that way if we can. Yeah. But we're not like doing anything, like personally doing things, you know what I mean? I mean, there are people who are that and they do that, which is
and
great.
They're amazing, yeah.
Like, you're freaking superheroes, the ones who can do that.
Yeah.
But the average day-to-day person, it's your, what's going to affect you directly.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to treat it like they're aliens coming out and they're going to try to kill people, and that's what global warming is. And sure, we did it. But like, that's how you have to.
We
like,
emitted the CO2, but we have to tackle it.
That
now
means we need to make a movie that treats global warming like it's done like by it's, aliens, like it's like some like
it's
weird
it's
creature,
an alien threat. Yeah,
and then people maybe they'll get on board.
Like The Happening, like the wind.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have another question. What's a movie that has changed the way you think about something?
Oh shit.
This is a hard one.
It's very hard.
I had to think about it. I've been thinking about it for the last couple minutes, trying to figure out. Inception changed the way that I like thought about dreams and consciousness, which was cool. Not that I didn't think about things already like you can be influenced, but just the way that they did it was really fucking cool, and it just made me like, I don't know, made me more interested in researching how. Like how sleep and how subconscious, messaging can.
I gotta think about things that affect it. Like, cause the last time, like movies, like that. I mean, there's stuff, scenes and stuff that'll affect me, but the last time, like my mind was like blown. It's like a high school stuff, cause you're like you're still new and everything's
right,
really fresh.
So
ideas are like,
what
the fuck? I think like What Dreams May Come was one of those movies.
Oh yeah, which is
where I was just like, everyone could have their own personal heaven. Oh shit. Wait, we can do that?
Yeah.
Wait, we could decide if we could be reincarnated. Like all of that stuff for a high schooler who was just like worried about religion and not knowing what's going to happen and all that stuff, and just seeing a concept where it's just like, oh, we could think like this and not get in trouble? Oh. Okay, so this is, and so like I remember adapting that into my own personal like, you know what, you get to choose, you could, so every religion is right, you could be reincarnated, you could pick your own heaven, like the whole, all of it.
It's a buffet.
Like, yeah, it's like, it's what you want it to be. And I liked that. That felt good That's to cool. me yeah. as a high schooler.
I think, honestly, and I've talked about this before, Minority Report made me think about, like, our technology's not Minority Report yet, so it's not, like, advanced yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because Minority Report's all, like, we can tell if you're going to do something bad in the future, and we're going to punish it for you now for it. And, like, your eyeballs, they scan your eyeballs, and that's why, like, Tom Cruise, spoiler alert for Minority Report, which is fucking old, he gets, like, new eyeballs put in so right. he can, like, flee the country and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, really? Yeah. I haven't seen it, but
like,
I know
when you're walking around, there's constantly, like, scanners, and they'll scan your eyeballs. And
yeah,
like, they're
they'll
over
track
here.
You, retina scan you, yeah.
And Damn. It's just got Crazy. all of this sci-fi shit where I'm like, whoa, that's cool tech.
Yeah. Oh, Matrix was like that for me,
Matrix,
too. Like high school tour
Matrix
was just like,
mind.
Oh, man, like our world is in our heads and blah, blah, blah.
Have
I'm
you
like,
guys seen Timer?
Is that the one where it's just like you only have a certain amount of time to live and so like
is that
money
the Justin
is time?
Timberlake movie?
No,
that's what
no,
I'm thinking. That's
no,
exactly what I was thinking.
No.
It was like that one.
I'm pretty
Wait,
sure
that one's called like About Time.
Yeah, that's what it is. About Time. It's the one where they have the miniature that that
right.
you know the car.
Wait, is Timer the one that has the chick from Buffy in it?
Ooh, I don't know, but it's the one where they have an implant that tells them how long until they meet the person that they're supposed to fall in love with, and they have a timer.
Aww.
And
oh, that,
they get a
no,
sci-fi
no,
implant,
thank you, no, no, no,
some,
no,
you don't want it.
And so she ends up meeting this guy, and she is falling in love with him, but she has a timer that's telling her when she's supposed to meet the person she's really supposed to fall in love with,
mm-hmm.
and then their times aren't matched up or whatever, so like she knows that it's not.
See, that's
him.
What I mean. That's why I wouldn't want it.
But she's falling in love with him anyways, and it's like, oh, it's a really good indie sci-fi movie because mm-hmm. it does a lot with the budget it has. It's kind of, you know, it takes, like, it's a heightened, it's not heightened, it's like a stylistic sci-fi where they're able to just take one element of sci-fi and put it into normal day life mm-hmm. so that the budget can go towards the things that are really important, like
right.
you know, how everything looks, like the lighting and the costumes and stuff, and that doesn't have to go into like CGI or special effects or anything
right.
like that. So yeah, so they do a really good job with it. But anyway, I recommend. I think it might be on Netflix.
It's funny.
I feel like I've seen it on Netflix.
It's good though. It's a good movie. I mean, it's not like amazing, but it's good. It's
what's weird is I'd want that for lifespan. I wouldn't want that for meeting the person.
I would want it for lifespan too.
Yeah.
I would take it for
I wouldn't mind knowing how much time I have left just so I could be like, all right, I got all this shit done at this time. And then like I could relax about it so I don't feel rushed anymore. It's just like, this is what you got to do. And if you don't, then you don't. Like
I played with a Ouija board when I was in my early 20s. And
you were brave.
It told me I was going to die when I was 35. And for a few days, I was just like, everything is temporary. And then I was like,
yeah.
I don't think the children at like... like whatever the fuck company made
yeah.
that Ouija board.
The
yeah.
Milton Bradley?
Yeah,
Milton Bradley
I don't think
company,
the Milton
yeah.
Bradley children know when I'm going to die. And also, like, die could mean, like, you know, rebirth
a
in a lot of
rebirth.
Ways. I'm like,
yeah.
what if I get knocked up when I'm 35? And that's,
oh,
like,
shit.
You know,
yeah.
stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But it's still in my head. Rebirth. It's still there. And I'm always like, what's going to happen in the next 2 years?
But then you're going to manifest it yourself.
Somebody read my palm Maybe. Once, and I apparently have, like, on my lifeline, like, I have, like, this major break, and something's going to go down. Apparently, something's going to go down. I don't know when, but enough that, like, either my life's going to be pretty chill, or the other half of it is going to be longer, but it's a rougher line.
Mm.
So I don't know. I was like, all right, but...
I have a cut on my... I was just looking at my hand. I have a scar on my... I don't know if you can see it. It's right there on my thumb. Do you see it right below? This is great
this
for an
thing?
Audio podcast.
Describe
right
it,
here.
Star.
It's
It's like a weird... It's like a scar on a thumb, you know? Like, just imagine...
imagine a
imagine,
scar
specific.
On a thumb.
Imagine
I
like
have,
a like a like a mark on a, right, on a hand.
It's right on, like, it's the fleshy part of, like, your thumb right below the base of your thumb where it has, like, that,
You're
like, soft...
You're still trying to describe
okay,
it.
Okay, anyways. I...
The
I have a scar. It's a big old line across my thumb now because I was trying to make bean dip. And
do you have one of those cans Please. Where you have to open the?
I want that to be the
top.
End of the story.
That's it. Trying to make bean dip, and I got a scar. I was scarred from bean dip. No, really.
I'll
no,
never
I
forget
was...
this bean dip.
I don't. It's a terrifying story. So I was trying to make bean dip, and I had a can opener, and I was twisting the can opener, like I was twisting the handle on the can opener to open the can, and my hand slipped, and the can lid went from horizontal on top of the can to inside the can and vertical, and my hand went down onto it, and it slid in and out. And I was like, that's not good. And then it just started spraying everywhere.
No, don't say spray.
Why all have, over the kitchen.
I swear to God.
All
this is
over, I was like in the pan of beans, in the can of beans that I had. It was bubbling over my skin into the can of beans.
Literally every week. Now you guys know. Every week Spencer tells me this horrifying bodily awful shit that happens to him.
I like it. And you told me one of my favorite stories I've ever heard, Spencer.
What was that?
About the man who went to Walmart to try and steal a Pillsbury dough.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me finish this one. Then I'm going to tell you that one.
Great,
so
great.
Then I know that story.
Oh, God.
It's so good.
Okay, so then it started spraying all over the kitchen, and it was all over the walls, and then I wrapped it in a towel, and Hannah drove me to the ER, and they were like, yeah, you severed your nerves, so you're not going to have feeling in, like, the inside of your thumb. So I don't have feeling in the inside of my thumb now.
Because of bean dip?
Because of fucking bean dip.
I feel so like Hannah is a saint.
She's a saint.
Because of all the stories you tell me that just happened to you.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm a mess.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
You
well,
just like to bleed.
I do like to bleed. and she's a special effects makeup artist, so she's used to blood being sprayed everywhere. It's just not usually real.
Real, right.
So she was calm and collected.
It's just corn syrup.
Can
it's
I see it?
Syrup.
Yeah. But okay, so the story. So for the podcasters, because we've all heard this story. Okay.
I love it.
Okay. So we could take turns kind of telling it. So. Yes. So there was this man who was trying to steal cinnamon rolls.
This is at a Walmart in Vegas.
At a Walmart in Vegas. And
not pre-made, so the can of
Pillsbury cinnamon rolls.
Yes.
I want everybody to pause for like a second and just imagine where this story might possibly be going.
We'll give you a second.
Give it a second. Just think about this real hard. Okay, now go.
Okay,
what you thought, it's correct.
So he was trying to steal this thing. And so he took it into the bathroom.
He took some KY jelly into the bathroom.
And some KY jelly into the bathroom with him.
He came in to steal one thing.
just some cinnamon rolls from the grocery store or from the Walmart. They see him on the surveillance. And they send the security guard over to go and stop him when he gets out of the bathroom and make sure that he didn't put it in his pocket or something, trying to steal it.
Oh, he put it in his pocket.
So he put it in nature's pocket.
He put it in nature's pocket. So he comes walking out of the bathroom, and the can is nowhere to be found. And
where could it have gone?
And so then then the guard asks him where it is, and so he tries to spray the guard with KY jelly to get away, but he ends up just slipping on the floor because of the KY jelly, and he falls, and it turns out that the can of cinnamon rolls was in his butt.
And it went...
And it pops open.
You ever,
when
you
pop
ever buy one of those in the grocery store?
I'm scared to open
I
them
hate
every
opening
time.
Them.
And it opened in his anal cavity.
So it pops open.
Just next time you guys bake a crusty roll, a cinnamon roll bun, any of those lovely Pillsbury.
Listen, I love crescent rolls. I don't love them that much.
Here's the thing. You know what's fun, but messed up? Those crescent roll ones are thinner. He could have probably gotten away with a crescent roll.
He wanted a cinnamon
roll. No, but
rolls.
Here's the thing. If you put any of those in your butt and then you fall, it's going to pop open. So he apparently was then bleeding everywhere from this, which makes sense. And it was just a mix of blood and KY jelly all over the floor.
And cinnamon rolls.
All for like a $3 thing of cinnamon rolls.
Just stick it under your armpit, you fucking lunatic.
Well, you know what? It's just probably part of his kink, I assume. Like he wanted like cinnamon rolls that he made. You know?
I just love
made him in his butt,
the conception
in his butt
of
oven.
Him being at home and he's like sitting in a chair like, I want cinnamon rolls.
And then he just poops them out.
He just cooks
him
in his butt.
He brought the KY jelly, so he was clearly like...
Either that or he took it.
I'm
going to
steal something in my butt today. One thing.
You know what makes me think? That makes me think he's done it before.
Yeah, I know.
Like, because that can't be
first... This didn't happen last time!
It can't be first attempt. Could you... Like, right? That can't be your first attempt, right?
He had to work up to that. There's no way he just went full on with cinnamon rolls.
He definitely got some CarMax first. Yeah. Tied to go stick.
Oh man, aren't we glad? Aren't you glad we haven't gotten like that sponsor yet? Could you imagine?
Sponsored by Pillsbury. Don't put it in your butt.
Yeah, don't put it in your butt.
Just a word of warning to everyone.
Yeah, don't
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Just as a general health thing. Don't put food. Don't put food in that area. That's a bad idea.
He just takes his little Pillsbury finger and pokes you right in the asshole.
What does he say?
Oh God, I'm dying.
I love that story.
It's so fucked.
It makes
it's
me
so
happy because it's so fucking fucked up.
Danny,
of course it happened at a Walmart.
Danny, you need to bring back your gross podcast.
I'm in the process of bringing it back in a way, Danny, but I won't say more until
Danny
later.
Used to have a podcast though. She where her and Beef would talk about gross things.
Yeah,
we love it.
And I used to try to, I would very sporadically try to listen because it's very so hard good. For me to listen to those.
Man.
But you guys would be so happy talking about those things.
We
that
love
that's
it.
Why I enjoyed listening to it is yeah. you guys' glee.
My favorite is, okay, so this is gross. Are you ready for the gross?
Ready.
Okay.
We've already gone there, Dan.
Gross warning, gross.
There's a lot of like cyst people where it's like, it's clear that they don't really want to have to go to the doctor and pay to like get a cyst. What's the word it's called? Like released or
yeah.
whatever it's called.
Depressurized.
Depressure, whatever. So it's like a video camera that's being held by usually a teenager or a dad or whatever. And they're in a backyard and it's like Uncle George. And he's had this big knob on his back for like 20 years. And the whole family's out there. It's like an afternoon where they have a roll of like paper towels. And
oh, no.
they like take an X-Acto knife and they're like, expressing all of the gunk out
that's
of like
one of
Uncle
the,
George's
one of the,
cyst.
I was telling Spencer this is one of the first like those like pimple popping videos that I've seen like two total that I was just like, you know what, that's enough for me.
I sent the 10 minute long like world's longest like pimple
yeah
video
and just like,
to Owen and he was like, this is fucking sickening.
And
it
for
is.
Owen to say that,
it's
that's
like
a
gross,
lot.
It's gross, but it's also like,
it's
still
fascinating.
Going. It's still going, you know?
Those videos always get to me because somebody at some point inevitably always says, this smells gross. And all of a sudden my brain just goes, oh no, I can't.
So
the worst like
I
peanut
know,
gallery stuff I've ever heard is somebody being like, it looks like cheese whiz.
All right.
I have one more story.
Spencer's going
to
tell his story.
I'm happy to
this
hear.
Is the because one he told me last week that I was just like, I still think about this because I'm just like, I mean, can't.
I mean, don't hype it up too much because it's not going to pay off. But because you did this podcast, you should hear it.
Great.
So
it's my reward.
It's not a very good reward. I'm so sorry.
No,
we just bring you here and tell you gross shit. Okay, so in college, I had...
I talked about politics and grocery.
It's perfect.
So in college, I had a what's called a pilonidal cyst, which is basically a... I have...
Sorry.
It's really weird. I love it. So on my, like, right on my...
Tailbone.
Tailbone. Right at the top, like, the end of my spine, the beginning of my tailbone... there is a flap of skin that's like a birth defect, and it's actually fairly common in men, but it's where one layer of skin overlaps another layer of skin, and so you have hairs that grow up in that, like, pocket.
Right. Oh, and ingrown hairs are problems.
And so it's an ingrown hair, but there's no way for you to get to it because it's below your skin.
Right.
So it doesn't have anywhere to go up because it's hitting the other layer of skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it buries down.
Okay.
And then it gets infected. And then it's usually caused by like hitting, like if you're riding in the car for a long time or
sweating.
Like mm-hmm. any of those things. So anyway, I didn't know this is what I had. I just knew that I couldn't sit down. I could barely walk without like major pain. And I was like constantly having to shift if I was sitting anywhere, like, so that I would not be sitting.
He's shifting
like,
in a seat right
I'm
now.
I'm shifting my seat right now. It's bringing back memories. But yeah, but like I couldn't lay down on my back. I couldn't sit
during those times.
Normally.
Did you know what was going on?
I didn't know what was happening.
You just
but
were
my,
in pain.
But I was in pain, and I just felt like my butt hurt. Like, my butt just hurt. And then I felt, like, cramping in my legs and in my butt. And so I was like, something is really wrong. And then it got to... On my tailbone, I started to get, like, a bump. Like, an actual raised bump. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Because that was the worst, like, place. It was where it hurt the worst. So I was like, something weird is happening. And so then I went to the doctor and they gave me antibiotics, and I didn't tell you this part. And they said, you're fine. Just, you know, and no, it's just
an
infection.
Did they even look at it?
They looked at it. They said, it's just an infection. Like, just take some antibiotics. Well, apparently they gave me the wrong antibiotics because, when I went back, they were like, that wasn't the right one. So I'm sitting there for another week, like in absolute pain. Like, these antibiotics are supposed to be working and they're not working.
It's supposed to be like right before finals too, right?
This is the week before finals. And so then I'm like stressed out with that anyways. And so then it gets to the point where, like, I can't I couldn't sit. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do any. I was up. I was laying on my stomach for, like, 20 hours out of the day because I couldn't do anything else. And walking was painful. I had to stand in class. Like, it was really bad. And so I went to the ER, and I was like, look, I don't know what you have to do, but this needs to stop. And so the guy was like, okay, well, we have an option. We can cut it open, but... two things. One, if we do that, if it's bigger, if I have to cut it open bigger than like half an inch or something, then you're going to be packing it for the next like 4 months. You're going to be bedridden.
Oh God. Yeah.
You're going to have to repack it every day. You have to have a nurse that comes to your house. Like, you're going to have to, you know, cause it's deep at this point.
Right. Right.
Cause basically what they told me is, I had an infection tunneling through my body, which is why I had my legs were cramping and my butt was cramping, because the infection, the pus,
the
was
pus.
Was tunneling through my body.
Rivering.
It's literally pus.
Like the Mississippi.
Like the Nile River down my leg. Oh. Nile River of pus. So then they're like, okay. And the other thing is, because it's infected, if we inject it with like anesthesia, it's not going to do anything.
Okay.
So you need to lay down. So if you want to do this, you need to lay it on the bed, lay down on the bed, face down, pull your pants down. Here's a pillow. You're going to scream into this pillow, and I'm going to cut you open and get it all out.
By the way, this conversation started because we were talking about drugs, and Spencer was like, I've never done anything, but let me tell you the story.
This is exactly what happened. So,
I am. Like yours right now.
So then I feel the blade come down onto me. I feel it slice me open, and then I feel him press as hard as he can, and then I black out.
Whoa.
And I'm like looking down, and I'm like my brain basically said, nope, you're not gonna experience this. And it took me out of that, and I was floating in like this black space.
Oh, you were like under the under the skin.
I was like under the skin. Yeah. I was like floating in blackness, and but I like felt like it was space because it was like weightless. And
it's
then
like,
I
white
looked...
boy get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, totally. And so I looked down at my hands, and as I like turned them, the space that my hands were taking up started to unfold on themselves and become stars, and then I felt my body expanding, and then my arms started like and everything became like this, like the shape of stars, and then it started to expand and expand, and then I became like the universe, and then
time there's just a doctor squeezing pus out of your ass.
Yep.
and then I came to and I was like, that was awesome.
Let's do it again.
And he was like, are you okay? You're like screaming for the last like 5 minutes. And then
and
I just
came
to.
You were not there?
I was not there.
Whoa.
My body just took me completely out of it. It was really, really bad pain. And then it disappeared. And I was just in this
world. Say they took out like a jar of pus?
Mason jar size
of
pus.
Oh, boy. Can I see... Is there a scar or anything?
I mean, it's like in they what they what they did. You could see it, but it's in. They actually, the way that they did it is they did an incision like right at the top of my butt cheek.
Okay, that's fair.
So it's
I
like
don't need
so
to,
that
you know so you're that, an engaged man. You know.
So that they I wouldn't have a scar on my back because they basically had to like they basically followed the curve of like the top of my butt So I don't have a scar.
Wow.
But yeah, he That's was able to gnarly. Do it without having to pack it.
I was just trying to imagine amount of pain. Oh,
without having to pack it?
They didn't have to pack it, so he was able to cut it small enough and push all of it out. But I mean, he said he was literally just like pushing as hard as he could on me, and pus just kept coming out and
out. So like
those pimple cyst videos, just that, but like...
Like yeah. a mason jar but full of them.
Here's the thing. Ugh. I know they're disgusting. They make me gag too. They're gross. But it's morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
The human body is nuts.
I was like, what? Why? How is that in my body?
A lot of people how long do you think that was there?
Probably a year.
Oh, well, like how long was the pus there?
Like, how long do you think that had been building up?
Oh, it was probably not more than like 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
Yeah, I took care of it. I mean, I didn't go immediately, but I took care of it pretty quickly. He was like, you caught it like fairly soon.
It caught it when some people go years. Move anymore.
Yeah. But some people go years, he
That's
said.
That's what I'm talking about.
Don't.
People go like decades and they don't want to deal with it.
Right. And That's how I was. And then I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
But
whoa.
But it was fucking crazy.
My first encounter with stuff like that was the Jackass video where they like got like it was a camera guy or producer or something. Because it's Jackass and they're gross.
Dude, Jackass holds up. Have you watched the movie?
Yes, it does hold up.
It super holds up.
But it was like, it was a behind the scenes guy and they were like, dude, you got to do this. You got to show this. And so he was like, I guess, sure. And like, it's like, you know, like when you like clean those blackheads and stuff?
It's that zit on his nose.
Yeah. And he does it and he squeezes it and it just goes forever. That's the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. And it was a mix of I'm fascinated and disgusted.
Terrified.
And I was like, you know what?
That to me is the best. I'm good. Be fascinated and disgusted.
Like, here's the thing, though. If that had happened to me, like, if I had to, like, pop a pimple on my face and it was, like, going on forever, I would think it would be amazing. But I would never want to share it. I'd be like, that was just for me.
Yeah. It was a personal experience.
That's a personal
thing. For you and your cats.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, no, the public doesn't need to know that, like, I had, like, a weird pour.
Okay. Well, we're 1 hour and 10, so we should.
Okay.
On that note. Amazing. Oh, God. Okay. Well, actually, there was one more plug I wanted to do.
Sure.
Really quick. Matthew Morey, who we met at the DVG concert, he's opening a dance studio.
Cool.
And he's fucking awesome. And
cool.
He's a listener to the show, and he was telling us about it, and I wanted to plug it. So there is, if you find him on Twitter, at Matthew Morey, M-O-R-I, if you're in the LA area and you like to dance and you want to go to a friend of the pod, go check that out because he's real cool and another whistler is what we call him. WSL. We stayed late. A little whistler.
Are we settling on that?
I want to settle on it. I love it.
You want the fans to be whistlers?
I want all of us to be whistlers.
Okay.
We're the people who stayed late.
Luis isn't here, so we need.
We're making that decision.
I miss you, Luis. I'm sad. I missed you.
We'll bring you back when Luis is
here. It'll be fine. It'll be good.
Make sure you go on and we really appreciate if you go on and leave a little review on the podcast because it helps us.
On iTunes. That would be real, real good.
I was told to tell you that. It helps us and it helps us to get sponsors. And
tell us
stuff,
on the reviews and stuff, like, just tell us your favorite ghost story. Let's
do
that.
Yeah. This time, tell us your favorite ghost story. That's a good one.
In 3 sentences or less.
Yeah.
No, I want it. I want 6
You're
sentences or
get,
more.
You're books, man.
Dude, I want 6 sentences or more. I want an essay.
Oh, God.
No, I don't
you
want
can
it.
Either I don't know why.
Do
it I three, just realized
you can either do it in 3
record.
Sentences or less
or
6
sentences
or more.
No,
if
4
I
sentences.
See 4 sentences, you're fucked.
Fucking out.
I might regret that because we're going to probably have to read at least one of those, aren't we?
I'm so excited.
Oh.
We'll send them over to Danny.
Daniel, yes, please.
Daniel will read them on our new podcast.
I'll read them in my sexy voice.
Oh, what's everybody's socials?
Oh, yeah. I'm at Spencer Stark.
I'm at Grown Woman Child on
and
fucking
I,
everything.
And I'm Starlene X on Twitter.
Yay. Well, thank you so much
for
coming.
I always read it Starlene X.
It's fine.
however you want to say it.
All these years.
Whatever you want to say. It's my middle name, Shimada, so it's just literally the next letter.
Okay, yeah.
That's cool.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I had so much
thanks
fun.
For braving
you
Century
best.
City. All right, we love you.
Love you guys.
Side note, Danny's the reason why I even got associated with SourceFed to begin with. It's all Danny.
Oh, yeah.
It's
all Danny's fault.
Because she's the best. She's the best.
Aww. Yeah, Star was my office PA. And then I said, hey, go show people you can draw, dude.
Yeah. Danny is the reason for everything. She's the best.
Aww.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye.